Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hey everyone, it's Celine Chinoy. Welcome to the Dreamcatcher podcast, a place where your dreams can find a voice. So if you're someone who owns a pet or who just loves animals in general, then you're going to find this episode an absolute treat. My guest, Renee Wos de Waele, is an animal communicator and an intuitive soul coach who founded Sagittarius Way, where she helps humans and animals through physical, emotional, and behavioral challenges. Renee and I will be discussing the many different ways that animals communicate with us while providing guidance on how we can build a deeper and more meaningful bond with our fellow earthlings. And don't forget, if you enjoy this type of content, please do subscribe to my newsletter. Hi, Renee. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. I'm really well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for making the time to speak with us today. You know, I have to mention that I became interested in animal communication after I watched the movie The Horse Whisperer, starring Robert Redford. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I have. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And I was just so fascinated with how he was able to communicate with the horses. So, I mean, it's just great to meet someone who does it in real life.
Well, we all do it. It's our natural gift. So I just play around with it a little bit more than most people do, or maybe I'm a little bit more aware of it. But in hindsight, we all communicate with our animals constantly. Yeah.
Right, right. So Renee, I want to start out by learning a little bit about you. How did this all begin? When did you discover that you had this ability to communicate with animals and also heal them?
Well, I think in the beginning, I didn't really know. So if I would go to school when I was a young girl, you know, many, many moons ago, I would say goodbye to the rooster in our garden. I would say hello to the birds when I would walk to school, you know, and I'm not a Disney story, but I would just chat to the animals that I would, you know, see. And I seriously and honestly thought everyone did. I thought that was the most normal thing people did. So when I got older and understood not everyone was doing what I was doing, I got very aware of me. So, you know, through my teens and my 20s, I actually tried not to because I thought, like, you know, I want to be normal, so I am not going to talk to them. And then there was a point where I was going like, okay, this is me. I'm going to be me. And then I started to get more training and connect with other people and start learning about what I was doing so naturally. I was like, okay, let's step back from this and see what I'm actually doing. And then I started realizing that it was coming actually really naturally and easy to me. And that it made my life so much easier. So not communicating with nature or with animals is just very hard for me because this is what I do. I'm a crazy cat lady. So, you know.
Were you initially scared that everyone will think you're the crazy woman who talks to animals?
Oh yeah, I still do. I'm very aware of it. And I still go like, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, or maybe, but if I can help people with their relationship, or if I can help an animal that's in pain, I can't stop but do what I do. So, there's no stopping then. And I try to go in different ways or directions, how the situation goes and culturally what is possible. But
right.
Yeah, I then I will choose the side of the animal and go like, okay, we need to do something about this.
Right. So it seems like you're doing it out of a sense of compassion that you really want to help these creatures.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the meantime, they're learning me a lot of valuable lessons as well. It's always a give and take. There's not only me doing it. And that's what it's so beautiful. It's always a dance together. So even if you do a Reiki session with an animal, you know, energy is flowing and they give you valuable information back too. So it's a valuable thing always. So
That's fascinating. And I'm curious to know, what are the different ways that animals communicate with us? And is it different from how humans interact with each other?
Yeah, I think so. I think we get, of course, blocked by the fact that we think we don't speak each other's language or you have a different cultural background. Animals really don't care. And they will always communicate with us in the easiest way. So for some people, that's feelings. So they will get goosebumps or warm or cold. For other people, it's they will see colors all of a sudden. And for other people, they get words in their head and they go like, I wasn't thinking about that. Why am I thinking about it? Other people see pictures. You know, I sometimes see little videos going into my mind. Or I would walk somewhere and all of a sudden I'm like, I wasn't thinking about drinking or eating. Why am I? And then I look around and then I see a dog who's really thirsty and I go like, oh, he's probably thirsty. He wants something to drink. So it's, you know, it's, yeah, they go for the easiest way. And for me, that's words. So.
Okay. Okay. That's fascinating. When I had my dog passed away last year, one of the ways that I was able to communicate with him was through eye contact. I felt like I could really understand him through his eyes. Do you find that's the case for you too?
I do hear that a lot. Some of my clients or students with me, they communicate that way. But it's a beautiful way because you connect through your third eye, right? So it's a really connection, a deeper connection straight away. Some people connect with their heart, mm-hmm. and it's a pure, that feels differently. So what I understand is people who connect with their heart, I'm one of those people, it's more of a feeling and a sensory connection. But with the third eye, you get probably more photos or visions or it's a different kind of a connection. And I love that. If you can go through the eyes, you go right to the heart of it all. And you should develop that and go and play with it.
He had the most soulful eyes. You know, he was a golden retriever. So, you know, they have these eyes that are just so, they make you melt. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm curious to know, what is the biggest barrier when it comes to building that soul connection with an animal?
Well, I think at the moment, we are so far removed from nature. And I think we're not taking it seriously. So I think culturally, as humans, we should be more into nature. And I think that it should become a normal conversation. Like the word energy is now more of a normal word in our conversations these days. So we use it easily, and we see it now in marketing forums coming back. People have accepted that there's energy between us. I think talking about nature and communicating with our animals should become a norm. And then it will be easier because then we can all develop our own skills. Because we all communicate, but we think we're being silly or being strange. And we all just want to be part of a pack, right? So we all want to be part of community.
Right,
and,
right.
So we want to fit in. So if we can make it more of a norm, then a lot more people can follow their hearts And I think a lot of people will wake up and go like, I actually talk to my cat all day, or I actually talk to my dog every day. It's just becoming more aware and accepting of it. Yeah.
Interesting. Do they understand what we're saying? Because, you know, do you find people who just talk incessantly to their pet? Do they actually know what their owner is saying? Or is
not all the time.
No, they're just...
Well, not all the time. They do watch us and then don't always click with us because they don't, I'm not aware of it, that we are actually focusing on them. You know, you really have to connect with them to communicate. If you're just walking to the house and you're randomly talking, they go like, okay, there she goes again. So you have to have a conversation like we have, you know, we look at each other, we have a conversation. You should do the same with your animal. But yeah, they can energetically. I think the confusion comes a lot of the time that we are saying one thing and our body language is saying something else and our energy is saying something else. So they get confused by like, okay, she's saying that we're going to go for a walk, but she's on the phone. We're not going for a walk. You know, so you really have to, what you're saying, you have to go do.
So they don't just listen to words. They look at the body language. They feel our energy. It's like you take in everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They are really present with us. Something we should practice, right? So right. When they're with us. So they're not distracted by anything else because, hey, we're having a conversation. So I'm here. You know. Are you here? So they look for that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so a lot of tribal cultures, like Native American and even the ancient Egyptians, they really worshiped, like they revered animals and they saw them as a source of power and strength. So based on your experience, what do you think we can learn from animals?
I think that it depends on the decade that we live in, because as a group, we're learning different things. At the moment, I think we should all pay. I have the feeling, so in my sessions with people, it comes up a lot, is that we shouldn't take things so personally. A lot of the things, it's not about us. We're just a small piece of a very large history that's happening on this planet. And we are taking things really, really serious. Yeah, we shouldn't. So one of the things that we could pay attention to is that it's okay if people come and go into your life. For a lot of animals, that's quite normal. And I know for some animals, it's very normal to stay together. But so it's okay to have different views, and it's okay to live life different than the neighbors do or than your friends do. If it doesn't suit you, then you should find a way of living that suits you. And animals are really good at that. They're like, okay, if this pack doesn't work for me, then I should find a pack that doesn't work. And the other ones don't take it personally, right? So wolves are not going like, hey, you were in our pack. Why are you
thinking of wolves?
Yeah. Why are you going to theirs? They're like, okay, you're better there. Okay, that's good. You're happy, so go there. And I think we can learn a lot from that.
Right. So don't take things personally and have this kind of detachment. Don't be too attached to expectations.
And be really happy for other people, right? So if you've been friends or you've been colleagues for a long time and someone can get a better job, for example, that's amazing. That's great. You know, be happy for the other person. And sometimes that means that they need to move country or go to a different place, but the heart connection is still there and you had an amazing history together. So, you know, then you have an opportunity to fly out and go and do your own thing as well. So everything always works out and there's always this balance of things.
Right.
For all of us.
That's beautiful. And also, I think another thing that animals can teach us is staying in the moment, staying in that present moment. I've seen that they don't care what's going to happen in the future and they don't ruminate about the past. I think that is something that I personally would love to learn how to do. I mean, I think I've come a long way, but it's still something I need to develop more.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, it's still something I'm practicing. Breathing is a good thing to breathe and to stay in the moment. And I sometimes, when I really notice, then I start just counting the things that are right here, right now, like my cup, my microphone, the computer. And it really brings me here. And it can bring a new awe of things that are happening. And then just breathe into it. Like, okay, now I'm here. tomorrow will come. It's something we don't have to do anything for, right? It's going to come anyway. So
absolutely,
you can fuss about it, but it doesn't matter.
I think that's just one of the things we have to do with having this overdeveloped brain of ours. It's like, that's one thing we need to deal with.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So what tips do you have for pet owners who want to build that deeper bond with their pet?
Yeah. Well, I think you just, stay in the moment, what we just talked about is really important. So if people would go to my website, I made a meditation for it to just stroke your animal and really be in that moment that you stroke your animal. And it's really, when you slow down and you see your pet and you really connect with it, that's when they can talk to you and show you things. And it can be silly things or small things. But if we don't slow down, there's no way that we're going to hear what they have to say. So it's really being here, slowing down, and actually sit down with them. Like, okay, I'm here, not going anywhere. What do you have to say? And not always thinking like, well, my dog is always sleeping or my cat always wants to be in another room. Well, introduce yourself and say like, okay, 5 minutes today. Let's spend 5 minutes today. And then you will see the difference happening because they go like, oh, I really like that 5 minutes. And then, they'll come and try to connect with you more as well. A lot of the times we forget that we've been so busy and been ignoring them for a long time that they go like, they won't maybe trust that we want to have that connection with them. So we have to build and show them that we are willing to change that. It's a lot of the times it's up to us to introduce and be patient and say like, oh, I really want to hear what you have to say. And it doesn't need only to be with your pet. It can be, I know some people don't have pets at home. It could be with the birds that are on your balcony or in your garden. Mm-hmm. Same thing. They're around you, so they're happy to chat with you too.
Okay. Do you think that some animals have more emotional needs than others? Because, for instance, some dogs really need you to acknowledge them and to stroke them more than, say, cats or rabbits, for instance.
But it's a different group. It's a different species of animals, right? So they have different personalities and different traits too. So they totally come from a different angle and why they are here and sharing this planet with us. So
could you give an example? I'm just curious.
Dogs really are social animals and they want to spend time and they love being in a group. And they like the attention because that's what they do together. If you have a couple of dogs, they will all sleep together because that's what they like.
Right.
But cats are really individual and they like to be free and go hunting and suss out things. So they have a complete, so they can, if you're a real cat person, you are probably have a personality who wants to, be an individual and see yourself as an individual. As a dog, if you're really into dogs, you love community and you really like to hang out with a lot of other people. And that's where the connection comes. And those give you different lessons too.
Yeah, that's why they have those personality-oriented questions, like, are you a dog person or are you a cat person?
And they're different. And it's interesting because if you're with a group of friends and you start talking animals, the dog lovers will huddle together and the cat lovers will, they will understand each other better.
Really?
Or if you're in a group of people who have horses, like, oh my God, the conversations are just strange that, if you don't, or if you're not into horses, you miss half the conversation because their learning and their behavior is completely different as well.
Wow, that's absolutely fascinating. I mean, Rene, we can talk all day because this is such a fascinating topic. But, I'll end the conversation right here. That was absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your gifts with all of us and encouraging us to build a deeper bond with all these beautiful creatures on this planet. So where can people learn more about you?
Well, I have my website. I'm born under the sign Sagittarius. So if you go to SagittariusWay.com, that's where my my website is. And same on Instagram and same on Facebook. And yeah, they can connect there. I have some free meditations if people are interested in, or if they have a quick question because they were listening to the podcast, they can send me an email and I can reply that way too. So, and that's at info@SagittariusWay.com. And don't forget, you write Sagittarius with two T's.
I'll just Google those people. You'll find the spelling. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Renee, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.